And welcome to a mini pod sesh starring myself, Gabby, and with me today is
Sharday. What up, dudes?
Hey, Sharday. Welcome back to the show. It's been a while. Not so long since the Dune review.
I missed being on the podcast because after we did Dune part two, I was having withdrawals or something. It was oh my God, I need to get on that mic and start spitting out some rambles, some Sharday rambles that never make sense.
That's true. You are correct.
Well, thank you.
You are correct.
But apparently I have fans that love me, right, Gum?
You do have people enjoy you.
I find that hilarious because I'll listen to myself. I'm like, I don't know what I'm talking about.
That's true as well. I mean, everything you said is true.
But sometimes every now and then I have a zinger or
It's not all about you, okay?
Okay, you're right. Whatever, dude.
We're here to discuss Damsel. All you had to say is hi, not all.
Hey, but it's been a while since we've been on the mini pod session. So what if I wanted to, you know.
And this one isn't even board game related.
No, but I want to discuss.
Since we did one movie pod. Actually, me and Jerry did some pod snaps where we talked about. We've done Star Wars. We did The Mandalorian. We did Rise of Skywalker. We basically just talk about what we want. So.
I like this that. I don't like being stuck in this box that you only talk about this thing. Because, what if you run out of,
We barely talk about games, so.
Well, no, I'm saying, what if you've talked about the game, and then you're done talking about the game, and it's only, 10 minutes of talking about this game, and that's boring. Sorry, that's boring to me. I can't listen to board game podcasts, because that's not my interest. But if you were to talk about something else, a movie or a book, or some song or something
Well, then you wouldn't listen to a board game podcast. You would listen to a movie podcast. But this is a board game podcast that's going to discuss another movie.
Which, by the way, you're unique. And I listen to your podcast because you're my best friend and Jerry's my friend. And so I support that. And even when y'all talk about board games, I tend to listen to it too because your banter is hilarious a lot of times. So I do support. So anyway.
Thank you. I'm glad for your support. Do you support us on Patreon by any chance?
I actually don't. I don't even know.
It's been fun having you on the show.
I don't even know how to connect to that, first of all. And you never showed.
Stage left.
Okay, well.
You don't know how to donate to Patreon?
No, I've never even.
I will show
I've
you.
Never even tried.
I will connect
Why
right to your
I
bank
donating?
Account.
I'm like your daughter. I don't need to donate. You need to give me money.
It's about time you pay me back.
I've accepted that I'm indebted to you for life. So
thank you.
I don't have to pay back anything.
All right.
Love and time.
Let's get to the show.
Anyways, let's get to it.
Let's get to discussing Damsel on Netflix. It's been number one since it, what do they call that? Premiered.
Yes.
Is it any good? That's what we will discuss throughout this podcast. We will discuss the acting, the effects, music. Did you notice any music?
Music was not memorable
not
at all.
A factor. The story, Damsel, okay, it's a twist on Damsel in Distress. But was she in distress? Yeah, she was in distress.
I would have been.
But did she need a handsome young prince to come save her?
That's what I liked about this movie.
Not on this of Millie Bobby Brown.
Because she a full-grown, independent woman and saved herself. She didn't need nobody.
She did not need anyone. So this movie stars Millie Bobby Brown of Stranger Things fame. She plays Elodie. It also has her stepmother, Angela Bassett. What do you think about that?
I think that was oddly hilarious. I've just never seen
Angela she come from?
Bassett in a fantasy. Weird. It is kind of odd, but I want to say, I kind of like that she's jumping out of this dramedy. I don't know. Not just dramedy, drama movies or more serious movies. She's coming into fantasy. I love that. Because she's living her best acting life.
What do you know her from most?
I know her from the Tina Turner What's Love Got to Do With It film. I watched that as a kid growing up a lot.
Was Lawrence Fishburne Ike?
Yes.
That's what I was thinking. Never seen that movie.
Dude, it is so well, I remember it being great considering growing up. That's what you did. You watched those kind of movies in my family, in my household.
Movies about Tina Turner?
No, I will have to say black film movies is what I mean by that.
Oh.
It's just one of those movies, it's just highly regarded in the black
Name
culture.
Name some others.
Are you putting me on the spot right now?
Yeah.
Surely. Angela Bassett or just like
black films.
Black films. So there's like so many. Like I can't even.
No, you're looking at your phone.
No,
you've got to know something off top of your head.
Name one
other movie.
Okay, Thin Line Between Love and Hate with Martin Lawrence and that one chick. I can't remember her name.
Wow, I know the movie you're talking about. Though
that's a good one.
Who directs that? Is that Spike Lee?
I don't know. Does Spike Lee, Singleton? Does he direct every black film? Then there's that also.
He was one of the first. I will say that. I feel like
there's Hop
ignorantly, whether it's true or not. Spike Lee is one of the ones I remember.
He is very popular for making, you know, those movies. There's also Hot Boys. I can't remember the name of it.
Hot Boys.
It's not Hot Boys. Sorry. You help me out.
What about Baps?
Baps. Oh my God. Yes. Okay. That is an actual guilt pleasure movie for me. I don't care what anyone says. That movie is awesome. It is so good. It's hilarious. I love it. I grew up watching that a lot. Life was huge in my household. You probably know that one.
The Eddie Murphy.
All the legends are in it.
That was Martin Lawrence, right?
Martin Lawrence and also Bernie Mac. He's hilarious.
R.I.P. Bernie.
He was a funny man. Like all the go.
I agree with you there.
Love that dude.
And I got to just look up a thin line between love and hate and see who directed it. 1996. We've already gotten off track, but that is fine.
But that's okay because we were talking about Angela and she's in a fantasy film. Let's see.
Oh, they had Regina King. I like her.
That's Regina King. That's who I was trying to think of. Yeah, her.
And are you sure? Oh, okay. Yeah, you didn't say Angela Bassett was in that. You were just listing a movie.
Yes.
Tracy Morgan was in that. I didn't even know he was around back then.
So there's a lot
of... Trying to find out who directed it real quick. Let me get down there to the thin line.
Well, why are you trying to do that? The one I was...
Martin Lawrence directed it.
Oh, that's good cool. Good grief.
I didn't know he did that.
The one I was talking about a while ago when I said Hot Boys, I did not mean to say that. I meant to say Boys in the Hood. That was the one I was thinking.
Wow. That's John Singleton.
So that movie... I watched growing up a lot of times. So there's a lot of different ones that was very impressionable to me growing up. And I was like, when I watched them as an adult, it's very nostalgic.
So when you say that, I'm wondering, and again, we are off topic, but we'll get back to Damsel shortly because, you know, maybe this is something more interesting we should have discussed. But
it's okay.
Boys in the Hood, when you say black films, I'm wondering if that includes the directing.
So nowadays, I feel like it's changed more to that. Holy, like now it is a black director because, you know, Jordan Peele,
John Singleton
is, you know, this director and all his movies, he mostly has black cast. Yeah. So nowadays I think, yes, because even The Color Purple was directed by
Sphinx. It was directed by Sphinx. Sphincter.
No, it's
Spielberg.
Spielberg.
Oh.
Yes, that's what I was trying to say. I'm pretty sure that's correct.
I thought you were talking about the new one.
In the old one.
Who was the new one directed by?
I actually think it was a different person. It was a black director, I'm pretty sure, because I was reading or watching a video when he was talking about how he wanted to completely recreate a different version of The Color Purple, and you know it's a musical.
I do not know how to say this person's name. Blitz Bazawule, and he is a black man.
So nowadays, it's probably more
born in Ghana.
That's cool, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would think that's why I said Spike Lee. I don't know that all the movies you're referring to have a black director.
Yeah, I don't know that either.
It would be weird that movies based around black culture, black families.
Yeah.
Would be directed by a white man. It would be kind of weird.
I think so, maybe, because like, especially if the plot involves like the life of being
right,
black. Like,
yeah, he can't relate.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. I kind of like, it's cool that they're, you know, appropriation, that thing you said, you like. Say that word a lot.
Say that again.
The culture appropriation.
Cultural appropriation.
Yes.
Is when you take from another culture and use it as your own, generally in regards to the appearance.
Right.
When members of a majority group adopt cultural elements of a minority group in an exploitive, disrespectful, or stereotypical way. Well, see, I disagree with some of that because I think some people genuinely like either wearing the clothes and they're not doing it with anything derogatory in mind.
Yeah, that is true in some cases. So,
like, you know, you sometimes see white girls with braided hair.
Yeah.
Or dreads.
Yeah, that's true.
Or braided in a way that you usually see on black girls.
Yeah. See, my personal view.
Let me get the opinion of a young black woman. Go ahead.
I don't.
Before I tell you my opinion as an old white man.
Chilean white man. You're Chilean, Gobbs.
But I'm not.
But I like,
don't speak Spanish.
I know, but I like to say
I don't Chilean. Have an accent. I sound like a redneck
but
from Texas.
But you look like you but have something in you. You
know? I am half Latino.
It's kind of cool.
So it's kind of like my, you know.
It's kind of cool to be like mixed with something, you know.
Yeah.
I think it is.
I wish it was.
I like biracial everything. Couples, babies.
Make the world brown.
I like it.
Right?
Mixed.
You mix them all up mix enough, it up. It's just going to be, I wonder what color it would be. You get all the different races together. And if the world can, but the thing is with, we have really got.
Well, actually, you actually asked me a question. Let me recircle back.
Oh, sorry.
You said, what is my opinion on like if a white woman and a girl is wearing braids? So personally, I don't care. I don't give a crap. Like, you do you, boo. Like, that's kind of how I feel. But if I do see like, you and like you trying to really and it don't look good, and then I'm like, okay, that's where I'm like, oh, that don't look good on her because it just don't look great.
And but, see, they didn't really have that term back when, like, say Vanilla Ice was rapping.
Oh yeah.
And he was very clearly trying to identify in that way, the way he dressed, acted, talked.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you hear him talk, and then he goes heavy metal. Now he's like flipping houses or something. I don't know. He's like a construction worker on TV.
Oh my gosh.
So it's like, okay, so he was just like adopting a persona that was not his genuine self. I could see that being appropriation.
Okay. That I agree on. Because you're not really being who you are. You're trying to be something that you're not, basically. And it kind of looks stupid. Like right. You look silly. Yeah.
But it is like it says, though, it is from a majority group taking something from a minority group.
Right.
All right. So let's anyway, get back to Damsel.
Let's circle back. We got off with Angela. It was her fault. So Damsel,
Angela's in this movie, as well as Nick Robinson as Prince Henry, who me and Chardet have not seen any of his previous movies. Robin Wright as the evil Queen Isabel.
I feel like I've seen her in
the evil mother-in-law.
Is she like the evil in every movie? I feel like.
No, she was Wonder Woman's mom, I believe, as well.
Oh, wow. I'm tripping. Oh.
I think.
Oh, that's her?
I'm pretty sure.
That did not look like her in the movie. Are you
sure? She was Jenny in Forrest Gump.
Oh, wow. She was, looks totally different.
She was the Princess Bride.
She was not the Princess Bride.
She was.
That was her. That's her.
That's her.
Wow.
She was in Unbreakable.
Oh, okay, she's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, she was she's been a lot of, yeah, she's the Wonder Woman's mom.
So I'll be honest with you, like I looked at her and thought I didn't blink an eye, like I didn't know who she was, like at all. Like I don't know if that's because of my age or what, but she just looked like an actress that's, you know, on TV. I don't know.
Generic white lady. Just say it. I know that's what you wanted to say.
I honestly didn't want to say that.
I know that's what you wanted to say.
I didn't want to say that, but you said it, so whatever.
You're so racist.
I am not racist.
All right. Ray Winstone as Lord Bayford, Elodie's father. And then, like, the other people in the movie literally don't matter.
Well, the Nick Robinson guy, I have seen him, and he had, like, a short little scene. Well, not short. In Jurassic World. And then he was in Everything, if you've ever seen or read that book. It's a YA. And then he was also in Love, Simon. I've never seen that before. I just know he was in it. I've seen the trailer. And then The Fifth Wave. He was the main dude in The Fifth Wave. You've seen The Fifth Wave, right?
Yeah. He does not matter
so
to me.
He's
acting, generic white boy. No, I just don't care. He has nothing outstanding about him.
Characters have always been very like these.
Super nice guys.
Super nice guy. Really, like, he's not amazing or anything like that.
He has nothing charismatic about him.
No, he's just, like, good to put him in, like, a film like Damsel.
I mean, I guess it's good in the fact that he doesn't stand out as bad, like a bad actor. Like, I didn't, oh my God, did you see Prince Harry? He was awful in this movie. No, he does his job. He does it fine.
That's right, Gobbs. He does his job.
He does his job, which I would say all this cast does.
Yeah.
There was nothing horrendously bad in the acting in this movie.
Question. What did you think about the dragon?
Okay. So the point of this movie, before we get there, the point of this movie is this king. We don't know all this up until a certain point. So I'll just, there's no point. Spoilers for this movie, obviously.
Obviously.
Not that there's,
it's okay. I like to say spoilers.
It's not a huge movie.
It's
everybody's
okay.
Like,
it's okay.
Clamoring.
There might be
oh my God, you spoiled God. Damsel.
There might be a rando listening.
I can't believe you spoiled Damsel. I was so looking forward to seeing that movie.
This movie's incredible.
So they offer up the evil king and queen of this kingdom, their ancestor killed the baby dragons of this mama dragon, and he pleads,
is feeling spicy,
so he pleads for his life and basically offers up all his children as sacrifices so that he can live. A very selfish king.
So, but the funny thing is, he's not just offering his children, he's offering women,
right? The women in the line.
Yeah.
So trick the dragon, they have this prince of this lineage, the Prince Henry of this family. He will marry a woman. They do a blood brother thing where they cut their hands and put their hands together.
That was kind of terrifying. I'd be scared to death.
And you know, that would hurt. I hate it when they show that in movies, because
it's not legit.
And it will not go away easily.
Yeah. That's like,
you cut your hand like that?
Dude, remember when I shredded my thumb trying to use that mandolin to slice some carrots? I'm such an idiot. And then I remember thinking, no, that's my flesh right there. And then I started bleeding profusely.
And the mandolin is also a musical instrument. You were not using the musical instrument vegetables.
I wasn't using a mandolin?
You were not using a guitar-like instrument to cut your vegetables. I think a mandolin... Gums. No, I think you're using the correct terminology. There is a kitchen utensil called a mandolin where you just go... And you slide the vegetable back and forth.
Up, bro.
And it slices and dices.
Yes. It slices and dices, for real.
And it will slice and dice your thumb as well.
And that happened to me.
So they're using, basically they're having their son marry all these young women, cutting their hands, him bleeding. They're doing the blood brother thing where they cut their hands and then they're pretending like it's part of this ceremony. Then as soon as they do that, they throw the girls down this pit as sacrifice to this dragon so that they can continue this agreement with the dragon. It's like, we'll give you all these sacrificial women of this line of our family. So the dragon thinks, unknowing that these are innocent girls that this dragon's eating, cooking, whatever she does with them.
I don't think she cooks them. Does she have a kitchen down there? I think she just eats them.
Put them basting a little bit. Put them on the rotisserie. Have a little... medium well.
I mean, oh my God, it's like Daria. I was thinking about it intrusively.
So anyway, basically the movie is the damsel, Millie Bobby Brown, as LD, trying to survive against this dragon. So she gets tossed down the pit after she marries this prince, which her father knew what was going to happen, but he was severely in debt to the king. So the father's kind of the dude.
Yeah, whenever, even Angela's character was like, what's going on? And she was like, and he was just like dismissive to her. I kind of didn't like that, because I was like, you're literally, you really are about to sacrifice your daughter, really? Really?
For some money, so he can keep his job, basically.
Yeah, it didn't seem very realistic, but, I mean...
Especially,
I guess they did dark things back then.
No, it was for the sake of the story, and I don't... It was... If a father truly loves his daughter, hey, you're not going to be willing to sacrifice her for your kingdom, basically.
I kind of thought it would have been more, I thought maybe he didn't know, but he did know.
Because after she gets just tossed down the hole, sometime later, after she has survived many encounters, here comes her dad down the hole to try and save her. So,
idiot.
was that his plan all along, or did he feel the guilt got to him?
Deep remorse. Yeah. I gotta go save my daughter.
I made a mistake. I'm sorry.
Shut up.
No. The guy's like, man, she's dead now. Like, there's no way.
Yeah.
But they didn't know they were messing with L.
Mm.
Millie Bobby Brown.
Millie Bobby Brown.
So this is basically, I told this to Paige, this is kind of like Millie Bobby Brown's Castaway. Not to that degree, obviously. This is not going to win any Oscar nominations. But I think Millie Bobby is a pretty good actress.
I would say really good actress.
She can express the full array of emotions.
Because the whole time I was thinking, oh my gosh, she's like doing all this, like this, a lot of it is just her solely. And well, I mean, yeah, I'm really feeling everything. Just like her terror and like just being scared, and she just does a really great job with that.
It's a full array of emotions. First, she gets injured. She's down. She falls down this hole. She's getting injured. Hurt.
Dude, her getting injured, I felt that. I felt that crap. I was oh my God.
Yeah, she's dirty, she's filthy, she's angry, she's upset, she's confused, she's hurt. Literally all these emotions.
I feel like she has really good screams. You know what I mean? Like when something is happening and she's supposed to scream, like her screams are really like believable. Like, oh my God, it's like, it kind of took me back to Stranger Things a little bit when she was yelling and like screaming out, and it's like she does really good with that. I don't know if that makes any sense to you, but that's something I noticed. Like, I noticed it each time.
She should put that on her resume. Strong screamer. Believable screamer. Believable.
Yes.
That's what you're saying.
There we go. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like, I guess I don't know.
Some people scream, and I'm like, whatever.
I would, like, that didn't do it.
Like, you're not really even going through that.
I mean, she really, like, I felt like she really felt them lava burns.
She's like, oh. And that was something else I had written down. This dragon, and I've seen this in a few movies now, they don't just breathe fire.
Bro, no. They straight up.
It's like, is that mucus? Is that dragon muke?
You know.
Dragon phlegm? Fiery phlegm?
You know, oddly enough, that doesn't gross me out because I don't know. It's like burning, and I feel like all the bacteria is like burned up, and so it's fine if it's phlegm from a dragon.
Flaming dragon bile.
Ew, that sounds disgusting.
Like, what is it? Because it is. It's a liquid, like gel like thing
regurgitated from.
It's not just flame.
It's like lava.
It's like napalm. This dragon's napalming everything.
I don't know what that means.
It's a violent, horrific sort of weapon they used in Vietnam, probably other things.
But how do you know that?
Everybody knows them about napalm.
I don't know that.
And it was like a gel, and it was just a flaming gel.
How
and
do you
it would
spell
stick
that?
To everything, and it was horrific.
Oh my gosh.
Nothing like the smell of napalm in the morning.
Napalm gas? Is that the same?
I was taken from Apocalypse Now.
Oh. Well, anyway, that was something I didn't notice too. The lava. Throw up.
Lava breath.
The lava vomit.
Yeah, so she's fighting. So she's struggling to stay alive against the dragon. The dragon's hunting her down, and she has a couple of... Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but real quick, before you, you know, get in your synopsis, you know what I felt was kind of random? I know this is weird, but I just felt like the little sparkly little dudes were kind of random. Like,
that was a little fix.
It was kind of like, I know.
A cheap out.
It was kind of like they had to find a way to like make her like survive basically. And it was kind of weird because I'm like.
Explain it further before you continue on.
Okay. So whenever she's in this dungeon or not dungeon.
Pit.
Good Lord. Pit.
Of despair.
Isn't a dungeon a pit too?
But that's kind of like a cell beneath a castle.
Okay, fine. So when she's in this pit, she's trying to, you know, escape from this dragon or whatever. And then she finds an area where there's a bunch of lighted, like, magical bugs or something like that. And she uses it as a light and then realizes when she's asleep, they have attacked her leg. They have attacked to heal her leg. And then she realizes they're healers. So I'm just like, this seems really random to me. I don't know why. I felt like it was going to be bigger than what it was. Like,
yeah, they were magical healing bioluminescent fireflies.
I thought these little bugs were going to do something bigger.
So
after
when
that.
She fell and her leg was like all ripped apart and her arms get scratched, I don't remember how she finds out, but she puts these bugs on her legs and they eat the wound or something and heal it. I don't know.
She finds out because the burn thing's gone.
Right, right.
And then she's like, you know, and then whatever. She uses that. And I wasn't sure how I felt about it. I thought it was cool. Like they were there. But then moving forward to that, I don't know if you want to continue your summary. I was going to say she also used it for the dragon as well.
Right. So through the course of the movie, we come to find out the true story of what happened with the dragon's children. This king was an evil king that just slaughtered her children basically for I don't know what reason, quite frankly, unless they explained it and I'd missed it.
Like the dragon?
Yeah. Why did the guy kill her three children?
Because, first of all, they're terrified of dragons. Dragons have a pretty bad rep, right? So they're like, oh, we got to kill this line, this lineage of these dragons. And she's the last one.
I am the last one.
Of her kind. So that means if, you know, they had to kill her daughters so that it wouldn't continue on, you know? That's what I remember from the explanation or whatever. And so, yeah. Knights are terrified of dragons. They're always killing something. That's why they did that.
Okay. So then after they did that, she promises to seek revenge. And I was trying to look up the lady's name while...
The dragon's lady?
Yeah.
I remember you actually saying you knew who this was.
Yeah. As soon as I heard her start talking, the dragon speaks in this movie, much like the dragon did in The Hobbit.
Oh.
Except this is a nice dragon. Okay. Well, not so nice dragon.
Well, I have to say
it's
something.
A hurt dragon.
I'll have to say something about that. With this dragon, the whole time I kept thinking, you know, now that we found out that, you know, they've been lied to, at some point I was thinking Aludi was going to somehow convince her not to kill her, like with her saying, please, you know, they lied. And I thought like she was like going to like be like, give her some mercy, but no, dude. She did not give that girl mercy until she like legit found out it was like a lie with the blood stuff. They were mixing it and like she was about to kill her. So like she wasn't listening to Elodie at all. And so I found out real quick. No, she's here for blood. She gonna kill that girl. But I can't remember who the chick. Did you find out who the chick is? That's the
yeah. It just dragon. Says dragon. So the dragon does not have a name in the movie, and the lady's name is Shohreh Agdashlu.
I am Shohreh Agdashlu,
and she is from the Expanse. She's like the president lady in the Expanse. Let me find her name real quick.
Interesting. Apparently she
was. But she has a very distinctive voice.
I am Shohreh Agdashlu.
As soon as I heard the dragon speak, I was like, I know that voice.
Gubby, I like her voice. It was very it heated. Was
a, it's a cool voice and also.
Get it? Heated.
And so literally as soon as I heard the dragon speak and heard who it was, mm-hmm. in my mind, I thought, I can see a twist. Like, I can see the dragon turning good for some reason. Just because.
Because of the actress.
Just because of the actress and the character she plays in The Expanse. Because she's kind of like this bad character, but also kind of like this good character. Like
anti-hero type
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So this dragon was going to kill Ellie. The daddy comes down trying to find
Question,
Ellie.
Question. You just called her Ellie. No one called her Ellie.
I thought they called her that in the show.
Was it Ellie?
I think so. Oh. L-O-D. They called her L or Ellie.
I didn't realize they called they did. Her. Oh, are you sure? I think they call sure. her Elodie. I don't think they gotten well, I'm nicknames doing it. Down in the
I'm doing it
in
now.
The nights and the you medieval
don't
times.
No, this is fantasy time.
Right.
It's all
you're
made
right.
up.
You're right. I don't know, but I don't remember.
So the
that.
Daddy comes down there looking for his daughter that he sacrificed to this dragon in the first place.
Douchebag.
I guess in a move of remorse. I don't know. So
a
he's down there.
Came.
Yeah, his conscience gets the better. I mean, he comes down there and the dragon is killing him, trying to lure her out. She screams. The dragon lets him live for a moment while Ellie has time to go down there and say, oh, daddy. Oh. And then he's like, you know, blah, blah, blah. He did have a moment that was kind of nice where he's like, he knew what the dragon was doing. He told Ellie, don't come out. Like,
the
dragon was trying to torture him to draw her out, and he said, don't listen, don't come
out. Yeah. One of the things that
I guess his like last minute redemption.
Right. And I was like, okay, whatever, dude. I guess that's fine. One of the things though that I did not expect, for some reason I just expected this movie to be really it was a little bit predictable. Sort of.
Yeah, pretty predictable.
But there was a moment I was just predicting that was gonna be the case where he came out. I thought she was gonna fly out running to him. Like, oh, that's stupid. But mm-hmm. she didn't. And I was like really glad that didn't happen because that would have been real like Like, I was like, either those little bugs were about to do something if we're coming out, because something a miracle would have to happen, because, dude, a dragon, like, I can't even comprehend. Like, imagine a dragon in your face.
Imagine dragons, one might say. What? Maybe the breath is radioactive.
Yeah, like, I can't even imagine.
Radioactive. So then through discussion between them, she literally, Ellie's like, you know, the daddy dies. Ellie says, all right, come and get me type of thing. The dragon comes. The dragon's legit straight up trying to kill her still.
Great.
But then
no mercy.
Ella puts some hurt on her. She stabs it in the eye. She stabs it in the arm. She stabs it in the chest, and then uses this tree trunk to like reverse the fire back into her, kind of like a bank shot of fire.
Yeah.
So that dragon's hurt its own self pretty good.
Yes. And this is, okay, circling back to my conversation when you say you get to this, how did you feel about the dragon's CGI?
It was good.
I thought so as
well. It was good. Yeah. I thought everything in this movie was very well done for a Netflix movie, and they sink a lot of money into these things.
It was a very believable dragon.
A high production, yes.
Right.
High production quality.
I definitely agree.
Good actors, good production. I enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed this movie quite a bit. So then the dragon, you can see that through the course of this movie, they did a fine job as well of making this dragon a sympathetic character.
Yes.
It starts discussing its children and how the children were killed. And so it killed the last of my children. That's going to wipe your family out. And Ellie's like, it's not my family. They bled into my hand.
You know,
she's like, I smell it in your blood. That's something I disagree with.
Like this. Smelling the
blood.
Let's
forget the fact there's a dragon in this movie.
Okay.
And we're talking about science. Whenever you cut your hand,
mm-hmm.
and you cut your hand, I cut my hand, and we do the blood brother thing. Ugh. We clasp in a high five or whatever. The blood is coming out of your body, not going into the body. Now, you don't want to do that if you have some sort of disease or bloodborne disease, obviously.
No, I wouldn't do that with anyone if you did not have a disease.
I mean, because blood is gross. Blood is disgusting. It will definitely get into your
bloodborne pathogens.
Right. You don't want anything to have. You don't want to have an open wound around diseases.
That's when they died in the medieval times.
But the whole, I smell his blood in your body. No, his blood, she could have washed her hands, which she did, and it would have gotten rid of the blood that was on top of her hand. It didn't. His blood, the royal blood, was not now in her veins. That was ridiculous to me.
Okay, that was a stretch, honestly. I thought that. I think maybe just her hands just being
contaminated. Because it wasn't intravenous.
Venous?
Venous?
It's venous, yes. As the phlebotomist knows that. I think her blood was contaminated with his blood. So, in a sense.
But how? That's what I'm saying. I mean, because it's all very surface.
Like, his blood got there. Like, you will be surprised, like, how micro it can be. His blood
got into her veins just through their two open wounds.
Yeah. Because
it wasn't a blood transfusion.
No, but you think about how that cross-contamination, that is real, dude. That's why I'm terrified to poke myself with a needle.
But you're literally putting it in your body.
Okay, that's a bad
skin.
Bad example. No, that I'm terrified of just anyone, blood wound, anything with blood related. Because it can get your body, your skin absorbs crap.
Okay.
Dude.
All right.
So I think honestly, it is a little bit of a stretch because it's like, it wasn't like a lot of blood.
Right. And she's like, I smell it in your blood.
It was like, okay, her hands probably got burned. Like,
she
could
have washed her hands and that scent would have been gone.
Where'd she wash her hands at?
The same place those glowing bugs came from. Well, that was water.
You're right.
Yeah.
But that was a stretch. They didn't think too sciencey about it.
So obviously not. So anyway, the dragon becomes a sympathetic character, and good Lord, I'm forgetting how this movie.
Okay. So the dragon becomes, okay, this is what happens. Let me take over. So whenever she basically, you know, she believes Ellie, she's like, bro, I'm about to go baddie on y'all, the king and the queen or whatever. So she basically, it jumps to the king or the prince having another ceremony or a wedding ceremony. And then Elodie shows up, wedding crasher, and was like, take your family and run. And then that's when the dragon shows up and burns the whole family to the ground.
So the mother-in-law, the evil queen, she was straight up evil.
Straight up.
The son, the Prince Henry.
Coward.
He was a coward.
Didn't like him.
He knew it was wrong.
But
he had some regret.
He had this fake modesty I didn't like. Something about him.
But even when he was throwing Ellie down the hole in the first place, you could see a small bit of remorse, but then he tossed her down
there.
That
ain't good enough for me.
And then at the end, when he was marrying like this super young kid.
Yeah.
And he's like, she's too young. I'm not doing this. She's too young.
No. You're getting mixed up.
Oh, that's her sister.
No, this is what happened. Actually, we skipped a whole.
I forgot about her sister.
Actually, when they found out when Ellie escaped from the pit.
So Ellie escapes from the pit, rides a horse. The horse gets smoked.
Yes, she escapes. Poor horsey. And she hides. And then that's when the dragon goes beast mode on everybody and starts burning everything. And then like the queen sees this and she's like, I knew that girl was trouble. And then they like go get her little sister. Floria.
We're going to throw her down the hall. And
so they did the
whole
thing.
Prince Henry's like, oh, she's too young.
But even him saying that made me mad.
He was guilty.
Bro, what you mean she's too young? Nobody should be doing that. Like he didn't really like process
wrong,
that.
Henry.
Like he.
Can I call you Hank?
You deserve to be burned.
Yeah, so basically, end of story, Elodie and the dragon team up because they realize they've both been severely wronged by this family. The dragon
homies become besties.
Goes scorched earth, and then Ellie becomes
Queen of Dragons, living her best life. Like, she's out there.
She goes back home, and the dragon's like, you know, following her along her way.
Basically, her guardian, because like she was flying because she wanted to travel the world.
Yeah.
And do all of that. And so she did originally what she said in the movie. And I thought that had some significance because she said it twice. And I was like, something's going to happen with that. And, you know.
So, but the dragon does make the turn when Ellie could have killed the dragon
because
the dragon had burned itself, literally burned itself. And she had the sword and she's
totally
like, go ahead and finish it. And Ellie's like, no, she does the whole stab the sword in the ground thing instead of the head of the dragon.
Right.
She's like, we're ending this and blah, blah, blah. So then the dragon gets on her side and they go scorched earth.
She shows the dragon mercy. And honestly, I was thinking to myself, like, if you show mercy in love like that, I feel like
especially in movies,
anyone can turn.
They always turn.
Always?
Most of the time. In movies.
So I felt that.
It's like, oh, they showed me mercy one time. I shall remember that.
They could have killed me.
I'll let you live.
Gubby, would you
but
do
we'll
to
be
me?
Mortal enemies for the rest of time. They do that in a lot of movies. It's like,
mutual understanding.
So I'll let you live, but that don't mean we're friends.
But we have an understanding.
But then sometimes there's like this movie, it's like, I let you live when you could have killed me.
It's always about that. If you don't kill me in a situation where you could have easily, you had every opportunity to kill me and you didn't kill me, it's like, okay, that's respect.
Respect.
And I'm not going to kill. I'm going to be like, okay, keep our distance. We're good.
So we've discussed, we think all the acting is quite sufficient in this movie.
I'd say so.
The action, I thought it was very good. Elodie kept it engaging, even though it was just mostly her acting by herself, dealing with getting hurt and sliding down.
Millie Bobby Brown did that.
Getting herself injured.
She did that.
Yeah, that's right. She did all these stunts herself, is what is reported. And then she fights the dragon and in the movie. I give this movie. I give this movie a, you know what? I give it a 6.5.
Okay. That's exactly what I was going to give
it. I give it a 6.5.
6.5 is good.
And that sounds, people have a screwed up rating system. That sounds low.
But
it's above average.
For Netflix.
Average is 5 for me, as it should be out of 10. That's a 5.
Yeah.
So anything above that is above average. This is an above average movie. Mm-hmm. It was well acted. Did it blow my mind? No. Did it engage my emotions in any emotional way at any point in the movie? No. I thought it was well acted. I thought it was well done. Great effects. It was a perfectly okay movie.
I'd say so. Like, if I want to watch, if I'm feeling dragon, okay, I'm gonna choose this movie to watch. Kind of want to watch a dragon movie.
What are your top five dragon movies?
Wait, how many dragon movies have I seen?
You got Puff.
What?
Puff? Oh, wait. No, that's a song. Pete.
Puff? What? Peek?
Pete the Dragon.
Oh, Pete the... What?
It's a Disney movie.
I actually haven't seen that before.
Really?
No.
Puff the Magic Dragon.
I'm actually kind of curious now. What dragon movies have you seen?
Dragonheart.
Wish I could really...
Last one.
I don't know. I don't get
that reference. Sean Connery made.
Sorry. Jerry's not on the podcast. Sorry.
Maybe that's not Dennis
Quaid. How to Train Your Dragon. I've seen that.
How to Train Your Dragon.
Dude, that movie's good.
I think Puff is a movie,
that
though.
Is really Puff. Puff, maybe Puff.
It's Pete.
Are you thinking of Notorious Big?
Puff Daddy. Puff. Ooh, yeah. Puff don't check the news on him lately.
Oh.
All right. So.
Wait, why do you say that? Oh, wait, never mind.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. I'm so dumb. Anyway, How to Train Your Dragon is one I've seen. And that's about it, I think. There's a lot of dragon movies out there that I actually like to watch.
If we're counting Luck Dragons, The Neverending Story.
Dude,
with Falcor, yes. My favorite dragon of all time.
Oh, you know, honestly, it should be. It should be everyone's favorite dragon.
Yeah, what if it's not?
Okay, Pete's Dragon, I've only seen the thumbnail of that. I don't
Pete's
think I've
Dragon, that's it.
Didn't you say Pete's?
I don't remember.
Okay, I haven't seen the full movie, but there was like this book called, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, Aragorn.
Yeah,
that's right. Is that a movie or a book?
It's both, and I've never read or seen either.
Okay, well,
not interested.
I have to say, dragons are pretty cool. Like, they're pretty fascinating.
How to Train Your Dragon, Dragonheart, which I've referenced, Reign of Fire, which me and Jerry have referenced on the show. It's a great movie about dragons. The Hobbit, of course. You have Smaug.
I think
the Neverending Story, Aragorn, haven't seen. Oh, the dragon in Shrek.
Oh yeah. Okay.
The little dragon in Mulan.
That's right. Yeah. So there's like those kind, but I haven't seen I haven't seen a movie or lots of movies where like the dragon is
full
legit
boat.
Dragon, yeah, like, bro.
Can breathe like, you breathing, to death.
Killing you.
All right, so we both give this a 6.5. It's a fun movie.
It was fun.
It's fun. It's kind of.
Would you say it's guilt pleasure?
No, stop. It's not a guilty pleasure.
Well, like
pleasure.
A guilt pleasure dragon version.
First of all, you're saying it wrong.
Guilty
it's not
pleasure.
Guilt pleasure.
I've actually shortened it because I didn't want to say guilty pleasure. I wanted to say guilt pleasure. Is that guilty pleasure? I know it's guilty pleasure.
I mean, if you like something, just enjoy it.
Okay, but. It's the same thing. Guilty pleasure is a movie if you enjoy it.
Guilty pleasure is generally in regards to something that is regarded as bad or cheesy, but you enjoy.
Okay, well, I guess I kind of knew
that.
This
was not cheesy,
well,
and it
okay,
wasn't bad.
Okay, wait. I guess I knew that, but I kind of wanted to like almost say it for everything that
I
may
know
not
you
be.
Did.
So
I know
there
you
should
did.
Be a term for that then.
What?
Like for movies that are not cheesy, but they're not this amazing, they're not going to win an Oscar, but they're like, okay. Like, what is that called?
Just a variety
just a good
of
movie?
Taste.
I don't know. I need to come up with something.
I don't think you do.
Well, why is there guilty pleasure?
I explained it. Those are generally things that most people regard as bad or cheesy, but you enjoy.
Okay, fine.
Whereas a severe critic would say, I can't believe you enjoy Fast and Furious. That's garbage. You should be watching The Godfather.
I like how you said Fast and Furious because you are very biased to that movie.
So that's going to do it for this episode of whatever this was.
Mini pod sesh.
We just want to talk about this movie.
Damn soul.
Oh, wow. I'm glad you finished that. This is a family show. Sharday, thanks for coming on.
Of course. I'm glad I got to get back on.
And until next time, I'm Gabby.
I'm Sharday.
Bye-bye.
Later, dudes.